welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Jason Pesterfield, CEO of Optellum, a digital health company with AI-based software for lung cancer diagnostics. Optellum recently established its U.S. headquarters in Houston, and Jason joins the show today to discuss how the company has settled into Houston and what the future holds as it expands both locally and beyond. Jason, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Natalie.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. I've been covering Optellum over the years, and we've never sat down one-on-one, so I'm excited to have this conversation today. So just to start, let's start with you and your career in health tech. Tell me a little bit about your career and how it led you to Optellum.
Sure. My career started just after college. Actually, I went to University of Nebraska, and I gave a shot at playing in the NFL and found out pretty quickly I wasn't going to make that cut, so I had to get a real job. And so I went back and had an interview on campus with Stryker Corporation, which is a major med tech company, probably familiar with them. And I started my career there. From there, I spent almost 18 years different roles and responsibilities, primarily in sales and marketing and kind of bridging the gap and innovation, if you will. And the last 8 years I was with Stryker, I was responsible for their global surgical navigation business. While I was there, I had a mentor that was really great and helped me think about my career and kind of that second half of the career, if you will. And knew that I was really always kind of pushed the envelopes and innovation and kind of had that startup bug within me. And ironically, I got a call from a recruiter, and there was an opportunity with a company called Varon Medical Technologies, which was based out of St. Louis, Missouri. And they had a technology that actually is in the same space as Optellum in lung cancer diagnosis in early treatment through an electromagnetic navigation bronchoscopy system. So I joined them as my first role as a CEO, and we were able to build that company over approximately an 8-year period into a $30 million plus revenue company, placed over 450 systems globally, and put ourselves in a strong leading position within that market segment. In December of 2020, we were acquired by Olympus Corporation. And so I spent about 6 months with them doing the integration and transition.
Wow. So you've done this already, right? So what was the process of joining Optellum and like, you know, what do you bring to the table as, you know, the CEO that's worked with a startup before all the way up to acquisition?
Sure. I happened to meet their founder, the founder of Optellum, one of the founders, the primary founder, Vasco Pazzo. We would see each other at conferences and always have a nice chat and really started to develop a relationship. And certainly, I think, had mutual respect with each other's talents and what we brought to the table. Shortly after Varon was acquired by Olympus, Vasov gave me a call and said, "Hey, what are you up to?" And I said, "Well, I'm in a little bit of transition here." And he said, "Would you be interested in having a conversation about joining Optellum? We're really looking to take the company from that innovation, let's build it, let's get it approved, and now let's go commercialize it and monetize it mode." And that probably leads me into kind of the second part of your question is what I joined. And that's really, you know, where I felt my sweet spot was. I'm not a computer scientist and an algorithm guy. I'll leave that up to the really smart people. But I do have experience in commercialization and leading teams and really kind of, you know, building cultures, acquiring great talent, working with my team to build a great strategy, and working with my team and our investors to make sure that we're in a good financial position. And so that's what they were really looking for. And it turned out to be a great match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think before we get too far further into our conversation, let's talk about Optellum and the technology, the problems it's addressing and how it works.
So a little bit of just high level about Optellum. Optellum is a lung health company with the world's first and only FDA-approved AI-powered decision support for early lung cancer diagnosis. And the company was founded so that every lung disease patient could be diagnosed, treated, and ultimately cured at the earliest possible stage. And we're focused on lung cancer as it's the most deadly cancer of any cancer, including more deaths of lung cancer combined, or more deaths of lung cancer than breast, colon, and prostate cancers combined. So it's a big problem out there. And so, you know, I and what we really do differently is we do this through software, where we're able to identify patients within a hospital system or a network of hospital systems that have nodules on their chest, just small spots, if you will, that are suspicious. So we identify those patients through what we call natural language processing, where we are able to read over the radiology reports, identify specific words and phrases and/or combinations of words and phrases to identify these patients. And then we bring them into what we call our virtual nodule clinic, which is effectively a dashboard that helps to track and manage these patients over their care pathway or over their kind of continuum of care, if you will. From there, we have a AI-powered radiomics algorithm that allows us to point and click on the nodules, grab those pixels in and around the nodule, send them to the cloud, compare them against thousands of what they call known diagnostic ground truth nodules. So we know if they're cancer or they're not cancer. We've followed those patients to identify that that is indeed the ground truth, and then bring back a score within a matter of seconds to the physician as to whether the patient is less likely or more likely to have cancer. So it's really it's like having 100,000 sets of eyes looking over a physician's shoulder, saying, you know what, doc, your instincts are right. Everything that you believe to be true is true, and or in some cases challenging that to ask them to dig deeper.
Well, and just from your description of that technology, it doesn't really sound like it's any additional work on the physician's part. If they have the system, they just kind of plug in their report and then get that feedback, right?
It's super easy to use and super intuitive to use. It's helpful that in most cases that they have an administrator or a nurse navigator, which typically they do anyway, where they've been managing these patients manually, literally thousands of patients on a Excel spreadsheet and or in some cases even spiral notebooks, where they've been managing and tracking these patients. Had they come in for a follow-up? Did they go get their CT scan? Did they go do their biopsy as prescribed, so forth and so on. So we automate that process for them. And typically the nurse navigators love us for making their jobs a little bit easier. And then for physicians, we put everything in front of them. We put a timeline of all the different CTs that patients had over time. We put the image in front of them. We put the radiology report in front of them. So all those decision-making tools that they need right there in a dashboard in front of them. And again, really try to automate and make things easy for them. I think probably the most challenging thing is really getting the system into the hospital. In today's age of digital health, there's so many concerns and rightful concerns around cybersecurity and just the integrity of the software. And once you plug it into different systems and it starts communicating to different systems within the hospital. So it's really making sure that your software is up to snuff, so to speak, meeting all of the requirements for that hospital and getting through that process. That's probably the most challenging piece of everything.
Yeah, I was wondering too, just because it is software based, you would think it would be kind of on the fast track to getting into, the physician's hands and be able to deliver this. But has it been challenging to get adoption rate up? Like, where are you in that journey?
Sure. So you're right. You would think it would be easy, but it's not necessarily the case. I came from a world, my world was Stryker, where it was very tangible, capital equipment. They could see it, touch it, feel it, and single use or disposable technologies that went along with that capital equipment. And at Verint, it was a bit of a mix. I mean, we had a software component to it, but it was embedded within a cap piece of capital. And then it had a single-use component to it as well. And this is pure software. And, I think one of the most interesting things is that companies, med device, med tech companies, software companies are probably a little bit ahead of where the hospitals are in their ability to adopt that technology. And so there's been a bit of catching up to do, both from a regulatory standpoint, an adoption standpoint, with more leading edge technologies like software.
So something that I found really interesting about covering Optelum is originally founded in the United Kingdom and expanded into the US by way of Houston, which is always exciting to see when companies do that, right? Come choose Houston over other markets. So tell me a little bit about that process. I know that happened kind of right before you joined, but yeah, tell me a little bit about why Houston and how that process went.
Yes, you're right. It was before I joined, so I'm glad I get to take part of it. So Optelum was selected by TMC through a competitive process into the TMC X Accelerator, which is a program to help digital health startups to establish themselves within the TMC system and enter the U.S. markets and take advantage of great opportunities like mentorship and introductions to physicians and other institutions. And so, as part of that, they were selected. There were, I think, over, I want to say, over 200 companies that were in the process. And we were one of the few that were selected to take part of this. We actually had some of our members of the team come and live in Houston for a couple months and work out of the TMC X facility. It was really all this was facilitated by the TMC Innovation Institute, along with their relationships with the UK BioBridge, and which had a partnership with the TMC and the UK government, the Department of International Trade. So all those members came together as a way to help digital startup companies, number one, and in our case in particular, UK-based companies get a foothold in the United States through a reputable organization, globally reputable organization such as TMC. And so we have an office there today. It is our US headquarters. Currently, I'm a team of one out of Houston, but it's been a great experience in that I've had the opportunity to really network and spend time with folks, other startup folks from med device, med tech, biopharma, that are in the same shoes as me, where they're trying to get the plane, the nose of the plane pointed up and flying steady. And it's a great situation and a great opportunity in which TMC has provided startup companies from all over the world for that matter.
Yeah, I am a team of one as well. So I feel you. But it's nice that you do have, I mean, we're such a global, world now. I know that sounds really cheesy, but that you can very easily interact with the rest of the team in the UK. So what do you have on your plate then as you move forward with this national headquarters here in Houston? What's kind of on your to-do list these days?
Sure. So, as you are aware, we recently completed our Series A funding. We were able to raise $14 million. Thank goodness, before really the economy kind of really started to get pretty shaken here. We were able to do that, bring in some quality investors, including Intuitive Ventures, if you're familiar with the Intuitive robots, Black Opal Ventures out of New York, and Mercia Ventures out of the UK. And with that, really, we had three main objectives in terms of how we want to use our funds going forward. First, is to expand. We have our product that is FDA approved. It has a CE marking for Europe. It has the UK markings. So we have a product that is ready to go. We just need to make sure to build the team around that to both from a sales channel perspective, direct sales channel perspective, and also through our B2B relationships as well. And then in order to really expand our footprint. Two is to continue to pour gas on our R&D pipeline or our innovation pipeline. Because we were a little bit restricted on cash, we had lots of things on the docket that we weren't able to get to. And this allows us a little bit more flexibility to focus in on the things that we believe will create the most value for our patients, for our physicians, for our hospitals, and really get those to market as quickly as possible. And third is to make sure that we are ready to scale as we grow and really invest in those systems, things like our quality management system, our financial system, our HR systems. So as we grow, we don't outrun them, that we've got a strong foundation underneath us, to support our growth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are all very relatable startup growth goals, and a lot of startup founders are listening, nodding along, like same. So
Yes.
it is the part of it. And another part of it is when one round closes, you already have to be thinking of the next one. So do you have any plans already for the Series B, or anything you can tell us about next round?
Well, I'm smiling right now because as soon as we closed Series A, we started talking about Series B. And after a long, exhausting process, it's the last thing we wanted to do, but that's the nature of the beast in the startup world. So yes, we're already thinking about that. In fact, we're going through a planning session right now with our investors and our board, and looking at our value creation initiatives that we have and the milestones that we believe we need to achieve in order to create the most value between Series A leading up to Series B. So we are in full throttle mode right now on doing that and trying to run the business at the same time, put that Series A use of cash to work, or cash to work, and then looking at Series B. We've got a little bit of time. I think, I think, like, I'd be willing to bet most startup companies out there, the very strong majority of them, in today's economic environment, have had to take a step back and look at things a little bit harder and say, what are our priorities? What do we need to focus on? What's going to create the most value for us, as we lead up to Series B? And so we've really had to scrub that a little bit harder. And frankly, it's gotten tighter. We're looking at ways that we can continue to drive revenue and at the same time extend our cash runway, to weather what we expect to be, a storm ahead of us, regardless of how good our product is, and that there's a massive problem, and we've got a great solution for it. You still are going to have these economic headwinds with hospitals, and they're having to make same tough decisions as well as in terms of what their priorities are. So we want to make sure that we weather that storm, create as much value, and get to a really, really good Series B.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've kind of danced around one of my other questions for you, so I'm going to ask it in a different way. And I know talked a little bit about what you have on your plate these days, and looking back at 2022 and comparing it to what you have on the horizon for 2023, how do you think you'll come to define 2023 compared to 2022? You know, raising your Series A this year, maybe next year the Series B, but overall, what's that difference maker between the 2 years, the two different companies, basically?
Yeah, that's a great question, Natalie. And I think in one word, it's execution. It is, we were told the story. We had a good base to tell the story off of. I should probably start there, of great technology and had the approvals and great solution for a big problem, and all those things were lining up. Next part was getting the money in, and then developing a really solid plan about how we're going to use those funds and getting to execution. And that's what mode we're in right now is execution mode. As we look forward, one pieces of our strategy that's very important is our B2B relationships. Software is unique in that you can integrate with a lot of different people and truly get to, one plus one equals more than two, if you will, situations. And so we're looking at partnerships. And in fact, we have some partnerships that are public with J&J, their lung cancer initiative, project, with GE, with their precision oncology, program. And there'll be more to come. And specifically, we're looking at areas in multi-cancer detection. So how do we leverage our technology, our AI, with things like liquid biopsy? We're also looking at local therapies or integrating with devices. So think about robotics. How can we identify more of the right patients and deliver more precise therapies? And then last, we're looking at partnerships in the drug world where, with neoadjuvant drugs, with companies to make sure that the physicians can select the optimal treatment or treatments to have the best impact or best outcome for those patients. That's how I think we'll really define 2023 as we look forward. And of course, making sure that we're hitting our metrics, we're measuring ourselves, and we know what the score is, and just keep our head down and our chins up, if you will.
Yeah, I like that execution for 2023. So I always like to find this like Houston angle to my interviews, and I think we've already talked a little bit about why Houston and how that happened for Optellum to expand here. But from your perspective, what has the opportunity to have this company here in Houston? What's Houston's role in Optellum's future, and how best can you work within the greater Houston innovation ecosystem and health tech ecosystem to execute?
Sure, I would really say we're really at the beginning of it. Part one was the relationship that we have with TMCX and being able to be part of the TMC Innovation Center and all the outstanding innovators and startups that are there that you can cross paths with every day, and including big companies. J&J has a big presence there in the Innovation Center as well, along with several other companies. That's always great. Number two, this is the epicenter of medicine. If you look in the United States, I mean, there's no bigger and better place for healthcare than Houston. It's great to be part of that. It's great to have access to those facilities and those world-class physicians and nurses and care teams. And we have, knock on wood, we're getting very close. Have not secured a customer yet in Houston, but we are in process, and we're excited about that, and excited about being able to do that because we know it has a huge influence across the United States and the world, for that matter. When people know that the hospital and hospital affiliates that make up the TMC are using your technology or believing in your technology, so we think that's a huge opportunity. I also think that's a great opportunity to attract talent. Houston's the fourth biggest city in the country. I understand approaching number three here soon, and it's a vibrant place that's got so much to offer from so many standpoints. And to be able to find talent locally or bring talent into this community is a great opportunity for Optellum.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it is just chapter one of Optellum really growing and thriving here in Houston. So it's exciting to me to keep covering everything that y'all are doing here and the growth trajectory you're on. So thank you so much for joining me today to discuss, and I'm excited for 2023 execution of Optellum.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Natalie, and an honor, and I thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.